Take the scriptures in your hands and turn to the book of 1 Kings in chapter 8. And we'll be reading the entirety of chapter 8, verses 1 through 66. The account of the ark being brought into the temple after it was built. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 1. This is the word of the living God. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the leaders of the fathers' households of the sons of Israel to King Solomon in Jerusalem to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from the city of David, which is Zion. All the men of Israel assembled themselves to King Solomon at the feast in the month of Athanim, which is the seventh month. Then all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark. They brought up the ark of the Lord in the tent of meeting, and all the holy utensils which were in the tent, and the priests and the Levites brought them up. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel who were assembled to him were with him before the ark, sacrificing so many sheep and oxen they could not be counted or numbered. And the priests brought the ark of the covenant of the Lord to its place, into the inner sanctuary of the house, to the most holy place, under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread their wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubim made a covering over the ark and its poles from above. But the poles were so long that the ends of the poles could be seen from the holy place before the inner sanctuary. But they could not be seen outside there. They are there to this day. There was nothing in the ark except the two tablets of stone which Moses put there at Horeb, where the Lord made a covenant with the sons of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. It happened that when the priests came from the holy place, the cloud filled the house of the Lord so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Then Solomon said, "The Lord has said that he would dwell in the thick cloud. I have surely built you a lofty house, a place for your dwelling forever." And the king faced about and blessed all the assembly of Israel while all the assembly of Israel was standing. He said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who spoke with his mouth to my father David and has fulfilled it with his hand, saying, 'Since the day that I brought my people Israel from Egypt, I did not choose a city out of all the tribes of Israel in which to build a house that my name might be there. But I chose David to be over my people Israel.' Now it was in the heart of my father David to build a house for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. But the Lord said to my father David, 'Because it was in your heart to build a house for my name, you did well that it was in your heart. Nevertheless, you shall not build the house, but your son, who will be born to you, he will build the house for my name.' Now the Lord has fulfilled his word, which he spoke, for I have risen in place of my father David and sit on the throne of Israel as the Lord promised, and have built the house for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. There I have set a place for the ark, in which is the covenant of the Lord, which he made with our fathers when he brought them from the land of Egypt." Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward heaven. He said, "O Lord, the God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth beneath, keeping covenant and showing loving kindness to your servants who walk before you with all their heart, who have kept with your servant, my father David, that which you have promised him. Indeed, you have spoken with your mouth and have fulfilled it with your hand as it is this day. Now therefore, O Lord, the God of Israel, keep with your servant David, my father, that which you have promised him, saying, 'You shall not lack a man to sit on the throne of Israel, if only your sons take heed to their way, to walk before me as you have walked.' Now therefore, O God of Israel, let your word, I pray, be confirmed, which you have spoken to your servant, my father David. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you. How much less this house which I have built? Yet have regard to the prayer of your servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to listen to the cry and to the prayer which your servant prays before you today, that your eyes may be open toward this house night and day, toward the place of which you have said, my name shall be there. To listen to the prayer which your servant shall pray toward this place. Listen to the supplication of your servant and of your people, Israel, when they pray toward this place, here in heaven, your dwelling place, hear and forgive. If a man sins against his neighbor and is made to take an oath, and he comes and takes an oath before your altar in this house, then hear in heaven and act and judge your servants, condemning the wicked by bringing his way on his own head, and justifying the righteous by giving him according to his righteousness. When your people Israel are defeated before an enemy because they have sinned against you, if they turn to you again and confess your name and pray and make supplication to you in this house, then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your people Israel and bring them back to the land which you gave to their fathers. When the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against you, and they pray toward this place and confess your name and turn from their sin when you afflict them, then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your servants and of your people Israel. Indeed, teach them the good way in which they should walk, and send rain on your land, which you have given your people for an inheritance. If there is famine in the land, if there is pestilence, if there is blight or mildew, locust or grasshopper, and if their enemy besieges them in the land of their cities, whatever plague, whatever sickness there is, whatever prayer or supplication is made by any man or by all your people, Israel, each knowing the affliction of his own heart and spreading his hands toward this house, then hear in heaven your dwelling place and forgive and act and render to each according to all his ways. Whose heart you know, for you alone know the hearts of all the sons of men, that they may fear you all the days that they live in the land which you have given to our fathers. Also concerning the foreigner who is not of your people Israel, when he comes from a far country for your name's sake, for they will hear of your great name and your mighty hand and of your outstretched arm, when he comes and prays toward this house, hear in heaven your dwelling place and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, in order that all the peoples of the earth may know your name to fear you as do your people Israel, and that they may know that this house which I have built is called by your name. When your people go out to battle against their enemy by whatever way you shall send them, and they pray to the Lord toward the city which you have chosen and to the house which you have built for your name, then hear in heaven their prayer and their supplication and maintain their cause. When they sin against you, for there is no man who does not sin, and you are angry with them and deliver them toward an enemy so that they take them away captive to the land of the enemy, far off or near, if they take thought in the land where they have been taken captive and repent and make supplication to you in the land of those who have taken them captive, saying, we have sinned and have committed iniquity, we have acted wickedly. If they return to you with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, and who have taken them captive, and pray to you toward their land which you have given to their fathers, the city which you have chosen, and the house which I have built for your name, then hear their prayer and their supplication in heaven, your dwelling place, and maintain their cause. And forgive your people who have sinned against you and all their transgressions which you have transgressed against you, and make them objects of compassion before those who have taken them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they are your people and your inheritance which you have brought forth from Egypt, from the midst of the iron furnace. That your eyes may be open to the supplication of your servant and to the supplication of your people Israel, to listen to them whenever they call to you. For you have separated them from all the peoples of the earth as your inheritance, as you spoke through Moses, your servant, when you brought our fathers forth from Egypt, O Lord God. When Solomon had finished praying this entire prayer and supplication to the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread toward heaven. And he stood and blessed all the assembly of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people, Israel. According to all that he promised, not one word has failed of all his good promise, which he promised through Moses his servant. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us or forsake us, that he may incline our hearts to himself, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his ordinances, which he commanded our fathers. And may these words of mine with which I have made supplication before the Lord be near to the Lord our God, day and night, that he may maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel as each day requires, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God. There is no one else. Let your heart therefore be wholly devoted to the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day. Now the king and all Israel with him offered sacrifice before the Lord. Solomon offered for the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he offered to the Lord, 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the sons of Israel dedicated the house of the Lord. On the same day, the king consecrated the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord, because there he offered the burnt offering and the grain offering and the fat of the peace offerings, for the bronze altar that was before the Lord was too small to hold the burnt offering and the grain offering and the fat of the peace offerings. So Solomon observed the feast at that time, and all Israel with him, a great assembly from the entrance of Hamath to the brook of Egypt before the Lord our God for 7 days, and 7 more days, even 14 days. On the 8th day he sent the people away, and they blessed the king. And they went to their tents joyful and glad of heart for all the goodness that the Lord had shown to David his servant and to Israel his people. And that is the word of the living God. And so the priests bring the Ark of the Covenant in, which symbolized the presence of Yahweh. In verse 10, the cloud filled the temple. Verse 11, we see the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And so Yahweh's glory is this cloud which has filled the temple. And it, we might say, conceals his presence. And we need to remember this as we go to John chapter 8 this evening, this cloud and the glory. Now, there's a certain hiddenness because this cloud has caused it to be that the servants, the priests, the servants, they cannot minister in the presence in the temple anymore because of this cloud, this great cloud that filled the temple. And so there's a certain hiddenness about the Lord. There is much we cannot see. There's much we do not know. For he is infinite and eternal. And it's very clear how the people of God are to live. Many times throughout the scriptures here, we see it, especially in the first 9 verses, 8 times when the ark is mentioned, with the tablets holding the 10 commandments on them inside the ark. The picture is that they are to live under his commandments. Now, God is a mystery. He is hidden. And yet his word reveals in our minds much about him. And yet, really, it's very little. Much about how we ought to live in view of him. In verse 23, we see that there is none who compares with Yahweh. There is no one like this God, this Yahweh. There's no God who, like him, is faithful to his covenant promises. And so we should always expect him to be faithful. And that's what Solomon, as he prayed, was saying multiple times here. Anticipate, therefore, his faithfulness in the future. He's always been faithful. Every word that he spoke, every word that he promised to Moses, here it says, he was faithful. And so we should expect his faithfulness in the future. But no house built on earth can contain this God, Yahweh. He is immense. He is great. Verse 27, the same Yahweh is intimate with his people. He is merciful and close to you, beloved, to all those who have faith. For he hears your cries and your prayers. And that's exactly what Solomon is praying. He's praying according to the word of the Lord, that which the Lord has promised. And so he hears your cries and he hears your prayers. In verses 31 through 53, we actually see Solomon praying through the Pentateuch. He's praying scripture from Deuteronomy and from Leviticus. And what he's praying actually shows that sinful Israel will suffer if they are unfaithful. They will suffer, verse 46, but that suffering and that severity of Yahweh may, it's so that they may, Yahweh may bring them to repentance, verse 47 and 48, and then also to restoration, verses 49 and 50. And all this to come to verse 60, where we see that this was all so that all the people of the earth, not just physical Israel, not just the people of Israel that was being talked about in this chapter, who descend physically from Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but so that all of the people of the earth, all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and there is no one else, that all nations would hear and believe. And so, beloved, let our heart be wholly devoted to Yahweh our God, to walk in His statutes, to keep His commandments, His ordinances, and His statutes from this day on and forevermore. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank You for Your Word. We thank You that this temple, as this description of the temple, and as the ark came in and was put in place, that the cloud, the glory cloud, filled the temple, that the priests could not even serve and minister within the temple. That not even, we know, as Solomon confesses, that Israel forgot. And we can confess with Solomon that not even this temple, not even earth, not even heaven can contain You, not even the highest heaven. For You are omnipresent and omnipotent and omniscient. Nothing can contain You, for You are in all. And so, Father, we ask that You would cause us in our deepest places of our hearts, but especially even in our minds, to know and to remember that You do not dwell here. That the temple was a foreshadowing of the presence of Christ and the Spirit of Christ in our hearts. And no matter where we are at, You are with us, Your people. That we can go into the depths of the sea, to the heights of heaven, and You are there with us in Christ. And Father, we see that there are here indications of the salvation that is not just for the people of Israel, the Jews, physical Israel, but for all who believe, that they would hear of the great works of the Lord, and they would surrender their lives to You. That men, women, and children of all kinds, from every nation and tongue and tribe, would hear You and hear the gospel and believe. We praise You that You call people to Yourself, sinners, Gentiles, the unclean, unholy, unrighteous people of this world who do not deserve anything to do with You. No goodness do we deserve. And yet You call us out of darkness and bring us into a marvelous light through Your Son. And Father, we do praise You for the gospel and how You sent Your Son. You delivered Him over for us all who on the cross. You grant us righteousness in Him. Apart from Him, there is no righteousness on the earth. But in Him, there is full righteousness, complete righteousness, that allows us to come into Your presence spiritually, even now, to experience the cloud of Your glory which fills the temple. And we can confess, as Isaiah cried out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with your glory." Father, as we come to you this evening, we ask that you would be merciful. We know that we have sinned, just as Solomon prayed here. And we know as we read on in the scriptures that Israel did suffer. They sinned, they failed, they turned from you, they were cast into exile, and they were far from your temple, which was destroyed. And yet, Father, you did it so that we would repent and turn back to you and be restored unto you, and that your glory would show forth through us. And so, Father, as it is this day, we ask that you would forgive us of our sins, turn us from our sin, cause us to see our sins, that we would turn from them in the strength of Christ and by his righteousness, and that we would know your presence again. My Lord, this earth, this nation that we live in, is far from you. They are sinful. They shake their fists at you. And you have brought destruction on many different levels, in many different ways, in many different times. We ask that you would use those things for to cause people to come and turn to you and repent of their sin and turn to the Lord who is merciful. That as we see these things, these judgments which foreshadow the great and the last day of judgment, the day of the Lord, that you would cause our hearts to tremble and submit to you in all things, and call peoples to repentance, call peoples to believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, even our children and our spouses, that they might be saved, that they would not see you come in great judgment upon them, but that they would see a great God in Jesus Christ, who comes claiming that these are yours, that these are your people. May it be true of all of us here. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.